We are so happy today in many ways, but one special way is that Nancy and Gary Friborg are here at our headquarters with me today. We are planning to offer a power blessing like you've never felt before. We're really coming at it strong from the blessings of Christ into our world, into our country, into all people everywhere. And, of course, as always, we will have special focus upon those who are striving through troubles, who are healing from illness, or facing some intensive recovery issues. As always, we do that. But we also bless the best in us, that the best in us can triumph and bring a triumphal entry into the new, exciting chapter of our world that we all deserve so very, very much. And Nancy, would you like to say hello?
So happy to see so many, y'all.
I can't hear you.
You can't hear me? Oh, Glenda can't hear me. We're having some technical difficulties, but
is your phone on mute? Is your phone on mute?
No.
Okay.
But anyway, she thinks my phone's on mute. We're gonna debug this. But in any case, if y'all can hear me, I love you. I'm so happy to be here. You know, lucky I just not moved my position. Yeah. We're going to take over.
Hey everybody. Well, we've got a wonderful crowd here. It's so good to see a lot of old friends I haven't seen for a while. Oh my goodness. You know, we go along every week with our family that's here, sort of like come storm or shine, they're here. And then we have our friends come back whenever it works for them. And I just want you to know how welcome everybody is and how much we love seeing Janaine come back on the board. You are all remembered fondly by us, all lovingly held in our spirit and in our desire for betterment to your life, happiness to you, and all the good things that can come from just being together. As Yeshua said once, he said, when two or more are gathered in my name, I am there. Well, we're going to be today talking about something that I think is extremely relevant especially in our country of the United States this week. We're going to make some pretty powerful choices, and the choice is yours. It shouldn't be the result of propaganda or persuasion by external forces. It should be a choice that comes from your heart, which is also about your life. So there is a chapter in Love Without End. It's called Your Rights and Freedoms. And Your Rights and Freedoms is... hold on just a second. I think we have a technical question. Yes? We're not used to meeting as a physical congregation here, so we're all trying to make sure we're online. We're going to hear each other and not cause echoes. So we had a few little initial technical problems to deal with, but we are here. And I hope that you received the copy I sent you in our weekly invitation. I try to do that for you every week because I know that many, if not all of you, have a copy of Love Without End. But it's not always handy where you might happen to be. Maybe you're traveling or you're with family or checking in from somebody else's telephone or residence. So we try to make it as easy as we can for you, for all of us, to participate and read the, well, the quote that we chose to cover. And I am pulling that up right now. I think I would like us just to have a moment of silence as we get into this, because we're going to be talking about some things that are fundamental to your being. Without them, you would not be who you are. You wouldn't even know yourself. You would just be a creation floating around in this universe. And although you might be an incredibly special creation, you wouldn't know yourself as you if it were not for some very, very special gift that God gave you when he breathed life into you. And that is your free will. Sometimes I get the thought and I direct it to Yeshua, like, why don't you just tell us what to do? You know, I'm worried about the choices we make, the challenges we have, and am I actually choosing and doing the right thing? And I said, well, can you just make the choice for me? You know what the best thing is. And he'll just answer, I don't know what the best thing is for you. So how could the Lord of life say that if it were not incredibly important? Yet it is very important to be recognized, each one of us, for who we are, for the love that we are, and for the identity that we have cultivated through perhaps the long years of living, the many years or decades of experience that we have compiles one layer on top of another. And then we look at free will and we say, well, you know, I've been here several decades now and I don't really see too much free will. Well, there is. There is. It's just free will for you is not the same thing as free will for another. It's always cofactored with your responsibility, with your gifts, your orientation, and your opportunities. You're not going to be given a choice that has absolutely nothing to do with you. And so that's the first thing I think you should realize, is that if you're being given a choice, it pertains to you. So take it seriously. Whatever choices you're given in life are relevant, extremely relevant to you and your future. Therefore, you need to study them and consider them from your point of view, from your needs, and from what you would design for your future. I'm going to start by reading from this chapter. It's chapter 11 in Love Without End. And as I read through the chapter, it's all Yeshua this time. I didn't copy any of my chats with him on that, because there wasn't much on that. For the most part, I was a fully inscribed listener. But now that I'm offering it to you, I may chirp in just a little bit to point in the direction of what's important, or what's so important about what's being said here. But let's just get started and see how it flows. Here we go. And it's Yeshua speaking. Free will is the foundation right given by the Creator to all souls. It is the right to be who you really are and to make choices in life which give evidence to that truth. Life is full of movement, with varying possibilities and options for change. Through the choices you make, you give support to your life, your love, and your truth. In and of itself, a context or environment may or may not honor or sustain the essence of who you are. The reason is that you're a child of God and not a child of circumstance. I would like to underline that with a comment. All of these rights and freedoms we're going to talk about are rights and freedoms given to you. You, the person, you, the child of God. Conditions don't have rights or freedoms. You say, well, why? Why wouldn't a condition? Well, would you want criminality to have a right? Would you want family violence to have a right? Would you want traffic violators to have a right or a freedom? Would you want that? No, of course you wouldn't. Freedoms are given to you, a person, a child of God, someone who acts within a set of circumstances, within a context, within a condition. The very fact that you having free will is what liberates you from imprisonment in circumstances. You may initiate changes to make a situation compatible with your love, and you can choose not to support those situations that deny your love. Even if none of the choices available to you are ideal, the very act of making choices will give you an assertive power over external conditions and a way of moving through them. I'm going to take just a moment for a little personal anecdote here, which, you know, I do frequently to kind of anchor things into some reality experience of mine. Last Wednesday, I went to early voting, and the only thing particularly, there were only two things that were particularly eventful about them. One is the line was so long on the street. It was two blocks long in the parking lot, and it was a large parking lot. We had to wait and wait in order to get into a walking line. So there was a lot of dedication on the part of people to make their vote heard. And that was impressive. I liked the feeling of it. And there was no dissension in the crowd, no ugliness. No, in fact, I could barely hear anything above a whisper, which I thought was extremely respectful. And I like that. It was a lovely thing to see. Walked into the voting room, and that went very, very smoothly. And I asked one of the people supervising the room, are the lines usually this long? And he says, well, this year they are. He said the last time we had a national general election, there were this many people on election day and almost none in early voting. So he said, I've never seen a year like this. Well, I thought that was wonderful. People really standing up to make a choice. Okay, so I went to my booth, made my choices. That was quick. In and out, registered my long sheet of paper, and walked out of the room. And there wasn't anything particularly on my mind except I hoped that I could get out quickly and there wouldn't be too much traffic and go home and get back to work. Okay, not thinking about anything, but the minute I walked through the door and I saw another huge line coming in, I got this lump in my throat and tears started rolling down my cheeks. And it wasn't because I thought my choice was going to be the winning choice. It wasn't anything that had a priority on it or a preference on it. It was just looking at the people and feeling the pleasure that I had in being part of the choice. And whatever you choose, I just hope you do. I hope you give that experience to yourself, because it's a big one. It's a big one, too. We make choices every day, my friends. You know, we go to the grocery store, and we get to choose between free-range eggs or cage-free eggs, and we wonder, is the price difference worth it? Well, we make a choice, and then we live with the consequences of that. And this is what the only thing I want to point is that this election really should not be about the person. It should be about you and the consequences of the choice you make. The consequences. Actually, that's a good thing to keep in mind no matter what you're choosing. If you're choosing a vegetarian meal, or maybe you're going to go chicken, choose what the consequences will be. Either one might taste good to you, but the consequences may not be the same. So that's something to keep in mind when we exercise our free will. We are responsible always for the consequences. If you choose to eat a food that gives you indigestion later that night, you don't have anything to blame but yourself. You knew what you were choosing. You knew what was likely to happen. So take a few deep breaths, maybe chew on an enzyme, drink some water, and go to bed. You know, you'll be fine tomorrow, but you did have to deal with the consequences. I have such faith in our people. We are such good people. I know that we will rally to the cause, but I want to honor you by bringing this presentation from him, because he thought it was important enough that in a conversation that would be carried to the world, he included time to spend on your rights and freedoms. It's because it's important for the development of your character, and your character for the development of your life, and your life for your immortal existence. So he felt it was very important. Let's get on with it. We're continuing to read from him. Free will is not a sanction for destructive, deviant, or irrational behavior, which might be stimulated immediately of a person's character, needs, or universal law. Free will is not a senseless free-for-all. Free will is essentially the right to be yourself, to know yourself, and to select the elements and companions of your life according to how appropriately they extend and serve the nature of your being. Free will is given equally to all in order that each person might have the right to express his love as it truly is, and to protect himself from the ravages of circumstance. All the children of God are equal in relation to their Creator. There are none who have a preferred relationship to the divine or special advantages in fulfilling it. None are above experiencing the transitory hardships of mortal existence, and none are beneath God's eternal love and capacity for forgiveness. Every person was created in the image of love, and that core essence remains unsullied by even the most desperate circumstances. Within each individual is a sacred center wherein his eternal place is purposefully sustained. Every individual is an immortal soul with a meaningful place in the whole of existence. These sacred equalities have a direct bearing upon your rights and freedoms. There are also inequalities which directly affect your rights and freedoms. The reason is that an individual has a right to be respected in his inequality as well as his equality. Not everyone has made equal progress toward fulfilling his potential. Not everyone has been born into equal circumstances with equal health, wealth, or intelligence. All of these considerations and more are part of each individual's life situation. Such conditions are very real, even though they are all changeable with a change of heart and application of effort. Regardless of the reasons for his circumstance, every person has a right to experience self-esteem within his existing realities. Nothing undermines equality of rights more surely than attempting to relegate them to sameness of condition. It is the person, not the condition, that has rights. And he bolded that statement. So he's saying, no matter how hard a person might seem to be, have sympathy for him, but not pity. Honor her or him for the courage to be in that condition and encourage self-esteem in that condition. For it is the self-esteem that will transform the condition. It's not the condition you honor, my friends. It's the person. And there is a very, very big difference. When you offer charity, do so to lift up another, not to dishonor him with embarrassment. What is the point of helping your brother or sister if you only set yourself above them? Inequality of circumstance is part of reality. Even so, it is the power of brotherhood to acknowledge the differences while transcending them with love. The highest unity is one that respects difference as well as sameness and regards both with equal respect. Otherwise, the very concept of equality would become a yoke of conformity that would repress the advantaged and lay unkind demands upon the disadvantaged. Every individual should have the right to experience his worth within whatever condition he might find himself. Isn't that beautiful? Oh my, I almost cry when I read that. It's so gorgeous. He also should have the right to enjoy. I'm sorry about that. I had to take a coughing break. He also should have the right to enjoy emotional and life support from those who share his conditions. Enjoyment of peerage is an extension of self-esteem, which generates strength for collective well-being. In return for these fundamental rights, it is asked of you only that you refrain from judgment. You cannot know what is in another man's heart, and often, outwardly, signs are misleading as well. If you would attain and protect the first two of your founding rights, you must clearly understand a third right. The third fundamental right is to know, to experience, and to honor the spirit of innocence. And most importantly, to know where innocence can be found. Nothing will destroy your capacity for that understanding more thoroughly than judgment. Innocence resides with God and within the sacred chamber of each person's heart. It is known by a quality of perception, free from judgment and prejudice. There are only three aspects of innocence to be found in the realm of action and living. One is innocent perception, through which all misconceptions may be exposed and released. The second is the innocent heart, through which purposefulness with God may be restored to life. And ultimately, all innocence has its source in God. If you expect there to be any other expressions of innocence, you will endlessly judge out of frustration and disappointment and deny yourself the pleasure and fulfillment of tolerant living. The surest sign that a man has gained the knowledge of where to find wisdom is that he has a sense of humor. Life is a flow. Within that flow, there are seasons. There are winter and spring, sunshine and rain, sickness and health. All variations bring experiences that are valuable to your consciousness. Some of them challenge your patience. Some reward your devotion. Within all the choices available, some will support your life with more than others, yet none will be eternally flawless. For example, a man cannot pluck a carrot from the earth for his dinner without depriving the carrot of its own life. With the best of intentions, parents may enroll their son in voice lessons when his afternoons might otherwise be spent developing a greater athletic ability. On the other hand, there have been malicious actions that resulted in good, such as a man who was unjustly terminated from his employment, though ultimately, in the financial sense, it allowed him to find the career of his true calling. I have said to you many times that anyone who judges is in peril of losing his way in life. Judgment obliterates respect for innocence and a comprehension of where it may or may not be found. Innocence does not belong to the external world. Whenever that understanding is lost, an individual will become immersed in the world, often becoming intolerant and vengeful toward others. In his own life, he will be like a ship without a rudder, imprisoned within life-consuming formulas. This is why I once made the challenge to any man who is without sin to cast the first stone. To draw any correlation whatsoever between innocence and external action invalidates the meaning of innocence itself. Is the mountain lion less innocent for devouring the rabbit than he would be if he denied himself the food and starved? This is not to imply that in the arena of human conduct, all actions are equally constructive. For certainly, a man may virtually make or break his life based on the choices he makes. Even so, there is a greater point to be grasped, and that is goodness cannot be determined by outward appearance. And certainly not by the judgment of another. The goodness of a man lies within the innocence of his heart. All the while, his actions may sometimes fall short of the expectations and the demands placed upon him. in making the many choices which life will bring to a person. It is well to know that perfection lies in correlating your actions with the will of God and the love that you are, rather than seeking for external approbation and admiration, which is fleeting at best. Anyone who loses sight of this will soon lose sight of his own salvation and deprive himself of the very rights and freedoms which he could fulfill his life with. That is the the end of that part of what I'm quoting from the book. He did not number the other rites, which we're going to cover next week. He didn't list them, but he covered them with his instructions and comments, and they're all very, very important. There's about 12 altogether, so I thought it would be better to cover this week the three foundation freedoms, which really are given as the foundation of your life and your free will. And the other, which are about 9, are more about your rights and freedoms in relation to other people and the environment. How do you deal with circumstances? How do you navigate troubled areas or decisions you have to make about your external life and conditions? So we will close with this paragraph. Let's see. I don't think I brought everything in. The rest we will cover next week. Yeah. We're actually at that point. I thought there was one more paragraph to be covered, but I'll bring it in next week. And we will cover the rest of the rights and freedoms. This, as much as anything else, in Love Without End, defines your relationship to God.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were put here to discover yourself fully in context with life as an extension of God's will. You are the light of God placed on the earth. And Yeshua really emphasized that in a number of his presentations to the apostles. But he told them they were the light of the world. Don't set their light. Don't put your light in a closet or under a bushel. Set it on a hilltop or in a window where it can shine. Let your light shine. Let your choices shine. And in the spirit of God, be a winner. Choose. The thing I think as a person, what I'm going to say right now is God always wins. He never loses. You want to be a winner, take your life and your choices as close as you can to the will of God. Other people don't own your life. And they actually cannot take care of your life. You're going to take care of your life and your family, and your closest loved ones, and God. That's who's going to take care of your life. Because it's you, given your abilities, your talents, your connection to divine power, your connection to your community, the love you have for those you want to support and serve. That's going to make your life right there. No one else is going to do it for you. You cannot rely on social institutions to do it for you, especially the ones that require taxation to finance. It'll be a circle that comes back to bite you. Don't think along those terms, because those are losing terms. Go with God. God always wins. Always. Always. The Romans won on the Mount of Crucifixion, Golgotha. God won in the tomb. And the tomb was emptied. God always has the last word. Always. Sometimes I get a little bit annoyed with overstated prognosis of the world coming from the book of Revelations. Because the fact is, we don't know when that will happen. The apostles asked Yeshua. This is in the New Testament. I could find it for anyone who needs me to quote chapter and verse. I just can't do it on the spot right now. But they ask him, and he just shrugged his shoulders and said, "I don't know." And they said, "Well, surely God knows. Surely your father knows." And again, he shrugged his shoulders. He doesn't know either. What's that all about? It's not pre-programmed destiny. It's something that will emerge out of the fabric of who we are, making choices. And the only thing we truly know from that chapter, I mean, we truly, truly know, is that God wins. We know that. That's your spoiler. God wins. How you're going to join God in winning? How are you going to get there? What's going to happen? Well, personally, I think it could be hard or soft. I think it could be a hard landing, a soft landing. I think it could be in stages. Personally, I believe it will be in stages, and I'm not the only one with a what I might call a wisdom connection to Yeshua, one of those being Reverend Billy Graham. He thought it was going to be in stages as well. In fact, he thought we were living on this earth in stages of reality, attaining to a higher experience of life, which would eventually translate to that level. And he thought this is why Yeshua could not say when it would be. The only thing that's really forecast in that chapter is it will be a process. And the process will have positives and negatives. It will have advocates and it will have opponents. It will have good and evil mixed into it. Evil being those forces that want to keep us pretty much nailed down to the struggle of earth by seeing us actually as relatively unworthy people. And then there will be good forces that actually are seeking to lift us up to higher places and greater places of living. The kingdom of heaven is not a place on this earth. Yeshua was very explicit about that. He said, don't look for it on the horizon. Don't look for it in the next city. It's not here. You look for it in your heart. And also, he said, look for it in the life of your children. The kingdom of heaven exists in your children. Honor your children. See that spark of innocence in them. And what were we just reading on rights and freedoms? The third right being the right to retain the innocence of your being and to see the kingdom of heaven through it, through that lens. You know, we see lots of good, I really do cherish the positive writers and creators that create inspiring stories for us. But that's still not the kingdom of heaven, because there's usually a protagonist and an antagonist, and there's overcoming and a little bit of negative opportunity, a lot of positive opportunity, and eventually the good guy wins. Those are great stories. Good things for children to study and realize that they can be heroes in their own life. So I'm a proponent of that as a teaching tool, as entertainment. It's good. But it's not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven already exists inside you. It's your innocence that's there and has been since the day of your creation. God knows exactly who you are, has named you, and holds you in his heart. And thereby, you have unlimited rights of choice, but at the same time, you are bounded by one ultimate responsibility, and that is to stake your life on retaining your innocence. Don't sell out. Don't sell out, my friends. Don't sell your innocence for what you think might be a better deal on this earth. On this earth plane? No, don't sell out. The only way out is up. And I seriously mean that. There are many layers of reality, many layers of attainment, many layers of ascension. And as we're already finding out in advanced science, there are many universes layered on top of each other, which is already suggesting that people who've come here from other planets didn't travel in spacecrafts over long distances of traveling at the speed of light, taking 200 years to get here. They've actually just taken an elevator ride up, stepped off the elevator, and they were here. You're going to be seeing more of that in the days ahead, because it's already being charted in the halls of science. They know it exists. They've seen it. They've even charted it. So we're going to have some very interesting times ahead of ourselves, my friends, and be prepared for really understanding that the only way out is up. It's not what the story leads you to the right or the left. It's not where the story is leading you into changing the world into a global society that knows better than God does. We think if we just become global, we can change the world. And the fact is, we do have environmental challenges, but they're not anywhere close to what's been itemized, because most of those were invented. They were invented to frighten you so that you would be more controllable. Don't succumb to that. Don't fight into that, because there's no end to that fight. Be the love that you are. Be the child of God that you are. Be courageous. Be faithful. Be devoted to those you love, to that which you love, to ideas that are worth supporting. And you will find that in the days ahead, you will begin to transform along with the transformations you seek. There was a webinar that we offered once, not too long ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. It was called From Change to Transformation. And what it was all about is that sometimes we lose hope, my friends, because we look at all the changes that would need to be made in the world in order to get us from point A to point B, where we would rather be at point B. But how we can't do all those changes. We can't make enough of those changes to get there. Yeshua said, you don't have to make the changes. You are an instrument of transformation. And he showed us with his life and the many miracles of his life what transformation looks like. It's malleable. In present time, right now, right here, you becoming the person you were created to be, that you want to be, you finding the opportunity that was there for you all along. You may have heard the little, it's kind of like a little inspirational story about seeing things you couldn't see before. You're looking for your keys, okay? You can't find them. They're not in your pocket, not in your purse, not on your desk. You've gone there several times. You even looked in the car to see if you already put them in the car. Can't find them. So you take a breath. You say, well, I guess I'm not driving it down today. You release all the effort. And the effort was all focused upon trying to find the keys somewhere, moving yourself around, forcing your memory to work, to lock into the place where you last had your keys. And you remember where you last had them. You look there, and they're not there. So you think about, okay, if I'd gone out and I came back home, where would I put the keys? You look there, and they're not there. You say, okay, well, I'm gonna forget about this. I'm not going to town today. I'm going to make a cup of tea. And you pass right by the breakfast table where you were sitting an hour ago, and there are your keys. Where did those keys come from? They probably didn't come from anywhere. What happened is you changed where you were. You were in a stress point reality that took you to a different place. And that different place for you had nothing to do with having the keys, because you were in stress about trying to find those silly doggone keys. In other words, you went to where the keys were not, because your mind was focused upon finding keys that had not yet appeared to you. So you went to where the keys were not. Now, I'm going to tie this into an experience I think you can possibly also understand. Many times I have discussed with you or other groups about how Yeshua came to me from who knows what transcendental place to be there for me to paint him, to paint his portrait. And I didn't know where he came from or where he went. I just knew that when he was there, he was vivid, and I could see every detail I needed. And if I needed to see a landscape, well, I could see a landscape. If I needed to see a sheep, I could see a sheep. And so I just assumed he was bringing all of that to me. Well, after this all, well, the joy, let's just say the exaltation and the joy of this became a cherished memory, and I was more in the flow of sharing the painting with other people on this dimension of reality, right? Because that's what it was created to be in and serve and reach in our reality. All right. After I was back to what I would call normal, and I thought back on that experience and I wondered, my goodness, what if he took me to a different place and he didn't change locations at all? Could that have actually been what really happened? Then I extrapolated on that idea, and I thought, well, you know, that might explain why every day, at the end of the day, the paints were dry. And oil paints in our part of the world, during winter months especially, because this was being painted mostly in the month of January and February, on the paints would take at least 3 days to dry. And there would be rare paints I was looking for that were just not available locally. And out of the blue, they would appear. So I began to think about, he wouldn't tell me that's what was happening because he wouldn't want to frighten me. But it's possible that that's actually what he did. And then I thought about when the painting was ripped. I was showing the painting. The overhead floodlight fell and ripped the painting. And yes, my friends, it was torn. It was photographed with my finger through it. So, no, that's not even subject to question or doubt. And then the next day, another photograph was taken, which is also not subject to doubt because it was in the presence of the church board and the Episcopal priest who was there and witnessed it being torn. It was completely whole. So what happened there? What happened there? Did he shift dimensions? Did he bring up, was this painting created on a higher level where it was kept in reserve to replace the one I painted on this level? Should it ever need to be replaced? Well, I wondered about that. And I asked him about it, and he just smiles, and he says, the day will come when all is revealed, Glenda. Just be patient. And so when he says things like that, I know I'm not supposed to ask anymore. And I am patient. I'm careful not to push past the boundary that he sets for me. You know, I'm a firm believer that we will be told what we need to know as we need to know it. And if we're not told what we want to know, it's because we still need to make a choice. It's about the refinement of our character. It's about refinement of who we are. And so we confront that every day in our life. What are we choosing for our life? And where are we choosing it? You know, I had the same thing happen with a herniated disc that just went away when I got in the frame of mind of conducting a seminar, a live seminar, where I would have to be on my feet a minimum of 8 hours a day. It just went away. It was gone. So what happened? Well, I can tell you what had happened prior to that. What happened to that prior to that time is I struggled through 2 years of Larry's condition of being in Alzheimer's, which was hell on earth for him and purgatory for me. It was a horrible condition to witness. And then losing my home, having no money and nowhere to go. I had 3 cats and me, and we needed a home. And fortunately, there were those who loved us and helped us through that event. And in the process, I got from the load of packing all of the furniture, the business, managing to even keep in business during those days, which was itself a miracle. But I was in the effort, what you might call the effort of the world level. And it was an extreme effort of the world level where I walked through that. And I was reminded of the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You set a table before me, facing my enemies, and I have no fear. Well, that's not an exact quote, but it gets to the point of it. Well, that's kind of, I made a shift. I decided, after I moved and settled in, I decided I don't want any more of that horrible hardship I went through. I'm here to serve you, O Lord. I'm here to live in happiness and fulfillment and helping other people to be there as well. Let's do a seminar. And I asked him if he would support me in that, and he said, yes, of course I will. And I just assumed at first that that would mean I would go to a doctor and I would get some therapy, because I had about 3 months to plan for this, and I'd be okay. But the doctor I went to see, he said, no, you don't need therapy. You just need to get on with your life. Can you imagine a doctor telling someone that? Well, he was actually one of the highest rated orthopedic spine surgeons in this area, who probably almost never turned away business. But he turned away my business. He said, you don't need it. And he said, you just need to get back into your life. So I did. And I had a long conversation with Yeshua. And he said, you'll be fine. The next morning I got up and I was fine. The pain was gone. I jumped and there was no pain. I danced and there was no pain. I bent over and picked up books on the floor. There was no pain. It was just simply gone. Well, I changed dimensions, but I was still walking on the floor. So there are actually even many dimensions of reality we can live in without moving, shall we say, through the elevator to a demonstratively different dimension that you might equate with something transcendental or mystical. I don't think I've ever been in what most people would call a mystical condition, but looking back on my experience with him, I think I was there and didn't know it. It is very, very possible that you can go through these changes in life and not know it. But you can't go through them without seeking it, without requesting it, without wanting it, without choosing it. You want to have a better life? Choose it. You want to have the better answers? Choose it. And you have a chance. So choose well. And I think I'll leave you with that because it is 4 o'clock and it's time for us to take calls and get ready for a blessing. So, Nancy, are you on board now?
I am, and you may hear an echo, and I don't think anyone heard me before. We had that glitch, but I just wanted to tell everybody, so thrilled you're here. I love all of you, and I think today is we're going to just have a resounding blessing for our whole world and going to really make a difference. So, yes, we do have some callers. We have Caroline. I am going to open her line. But before I do, I thank you, Glenda, for that, because it really, the thing that strikes me so much is the word foundation and foundational. It's like we have to have that foundation to set everything up on. And, you know, you kept coming back to choosing and our choices. They really make a difference. And so thank you for, you know, really helping us all to remember how important they are. And do they align with God and God's will? And do they support the love that we are? Do they support, you know, our truth? And I just thank you so much, because we're in some interesting times and we've got to remember who we are so that we can make them better.
So I love you, and I'm so, so happy to be here. So I am going to open up Caroline's line. Caroline, we're so happy you're here. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, well, I have one general blessing that I would like to ask for and one more specific to my own life. And given that we have the elections coming up and some major choices that are being made, my blessing is for the election to be as fair and true as possible. Drawing on my experiences of a friend of mine who was a watcher in the elections here on Maui last time we had elections, and he was very shocked at what he saw happening with the postal ballots, and he was not permitted to even take photographs or any of that of what was going on. So there is a lot of corruption around, and I would hope that we have some angelic influences that are going to illuminate the result to be the truth of what people really want, so that, justice and freedom prevails. So that's my general blessing request. And then the second, amen. And the second two blessings, one is a sweet little blessing for a very good friend of mine who has been single for many years after her fiancé died, and she's going to be meeting up with somebody new in the next week or so that she hasn't met in person, and I'm really hoping that that's going to be a nice, sweet little romance that will lead to something really substantial for her because she really deserves it. So that's another little blessing that I would like to see out there. And then the final, you know, everybody needs love and romance in their life, you know, to make
absolutely
the world go around.
And there's no such thing as a small blessing.
Well, that's great.
That's true.
But anyway. So I won't give her name because I want to leave her with some confidentiality. Some of the folks in the group might know who she is. So I won't give her name, but Joshua knows exactly who she is. But I will give the name of my sister, Josie, who is coming to see me after her husband died following a 50-year marriage that they had. And she has a spot on her lung. I suspect she's probably vax damaged, but I am really praying that this will be something that will be fixable and not something that will be a major problem for her. She has some pain in her lung, and the spot's shown up that she's going to have a scan prior to coming out to seeing me. She lives in England, and I'm here in Hawaii. So Joshua knows what's going on there, and hopefully everything will be really good, and she'll be able to come out and, you know, forget a little bit about what's been happening. She's devastated by the death of her husband, so she really needs some good news.
Of course. Yeah.
So those are the three blessings. Yeah, a fair and free and truthful election, a really nice situation for my dear friend here in Hawaii, and then my sister having no major issues in her lung, and so that she can have to come in here and have a successful visit. So those are the three. Thank you. I will say it was a wonderful presentation. It is so relevant what you said, and yet so timeless. We really needed to hear so much of what you said today, Glenda, and I have to say, I will reiterate again, the book that had the most impact on me, that I found the most wow, almost every page was like, oh wow, this is amazing, this is just, it resonated like crazy, and that was Love Without End, you know, that is the book. It's just an amazing book. And if anyone listening hasn't read it yet, read it. Take it a chapter at a time if you need to, dip in, whatever. But it is an amazing, amazing book. And I'm so grateful to you, Glenda, for having written it with Joshua's help.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, Caroline. And it was, of course, the honor of my life that I was given that opportunity, and that I chose to do it. You know, I have to say, it took a little bit of courage. You might think, But it's such an honor to walk with him.
Right.
I hope you get the chance to make that choice, my friends. And you will. You can't. But it takes a little bit of courage.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because how can you feel you measure up to somebody like that? Nobody.
You can't. You can't. Yeah. It brings out all of your
insecurities,
self-doubt, insecurities, self-doubt, and then to tell other people, I talked with him, and they'll say, yeah, right.
Right, yeah. Yes, but The Keys of Joshua, that was another amazing book, and I'm really looking forward to the next one coming out. That's going to be mega for all of us. Yeah.
Yes, it will, and it will be out before Christmas.
Really?
I've been saying that for a year, but hope springs eternal when you work for him.
Right.
And still, you're going to be on his timeline. So I can't argue with his timeline. It may be that he wants it to come out after the election results, where people are rebuilding their life. Because, you know, there's going to be a lot of people happy and a lot of people unhappy. And, you know, we've all got to come together and rebuild our lives. Because whatever was chosen, I pray that it was honest and fair, but whatever was chosen is what we're going to have to deal with. So he may really want that book to come out then. I don't know. But... He found some subtle ways of stopping it.
Well, Caroline, I couldn't agree with you more. Love Without End and Keys of Yeshua. I mean, he's telling us don't sell out, you know, make the
right
choices. And sometimes the choice isn't even doing anything. It's just being love. And you just be love and be you, or you choose not to. And choosing the other choice is, you know, it's not going to take you too far. Well, it's not going to give you the life that you say you want, you know?
I give you an example to see what the other choice looks like.
Well, that's for sure.
And lots of people have made the strongest choice toward the positive after finding out what the negative looks like.
That's
absolutely
true. Yep.
Well, Glenda, thank you for talking about transformation, because I think through your experiences, especially with your back and everything, it's like we're constantly making little transformations, and it seems like when those transformations occur, situations really improve. And it's kind of like what you said about Billy Graham, you know, that you know, these higher experiences of life, they definitely really align with the choices. And a choice sometimes is just to be love in a situation that can be really difficult, you know. So
absolutely.
The more we align with the love and the will of God, which I believe that's God's will for us, is to truly be the love that we are. I love that he said free will is not a free-for-all for just anything weird and hurtful. And that's just experiences. That's not about God's reality, for me anyway.
Well,
so,
that's because
thank you.
Free will doesn't belong to
And the lack of judgment, that it's not for us to judge, that's such an important thing in this very polarized and judgmental world that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then aligning that with innocence. Yeah, and the innocent heart, I mean, it's not, and who we are. It just makes you realize you're not part of this external world. If the innocence, you know, if you are innocent and innocence belongs to you, it begs the question, who am I? You know, I'm the immortal child
of the external world. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you so much, Carolyn. We love when you call, and we love hearing your voice and all the care you have for all the people in your life and those that you love, always bringing them into our blessings. So thank you so much, and we will be talking next week.
Yes,
that's
and
right, we will. And we wish everyone a happy week and a happy time making one of the best choices of your life. Okay? So
You are a child of God, and you are capable of doing the right thing. Remember, we covered that chapter some time ago, Pathways to Success. Be the
right.
love that you are. Mm-hmm. Remember, follow life in the living. Do the right thing. And then forgive, forgive, forgive. So, you know, what amazes me is how all of these chapters work together and they loop back together. Just
they do.
From a little bit different venue, focused on a little bit different subject. But the outcome is always the same. It's all about love and making things better. How can you make things better? That's the key. How can you make mm-hmm. your life better, the thoughts of your mind better, and the outcomes of your life better? How can you do that and make everything better? So, and Carolyn, thank you for your accolades on Love Without End. I would say it's the B12 of vitamins. If you want a B12 shot every day, pick up that book. It comes from a different place. Uh-huh.
It sure does.
It comes from that place we all dream to be in and shall be. But for now, we're here to make choices about this one. So, my friends, let's get ready for our blessing. It's going to be a big one today. We've got a lot of people joining us and wanting to cultivate the energy for the very, very best thing to happen for our world, for our nation, and ourselves, and for it to be honest and honorable. Just don't go and vote. That's the way you make it honest and honorable. Don't stay away because you think, well, it's all going to be false. No, you've increased the percentage that something could be false by you staying away. You go and you make an honest choice. Whatever your choice is, make your choice, not someone else's choice, not from pressure, not from just, okay, vote your character. Okay? And show up to be a presence. Show up in, but not just at the voting booth. Show up in life to be who you are. Show up in life to represent your choice. Do you know that you are the sum total of every choice you've made before in your life? So anywhere you show up, you're presenting your choices. Think about that for a minute. Just think about that. Everything you are is the sum total of every choice you've ever made. That's a big responsibility, my friends, and it will carry a long term in your being and who you are. Okay, and let's start chilling out, okay? A, relax, and B, stretch, okay? Let's just take a really, really deep breath. Hold it. Release it. Let's wiggle our toes. Stretch our fingers. Move our fingers. Be playing on the piano with your fingers. Extend your arm and turn the palm of your hand back so that you stretch the muscles and the tendons of your arm. First one and then another. It doesn't matter which one first, just so you keep balance. Okay, now let's spin these arms like a windmill. Let's spin them to the front and then spin them to the back. So there's no preference, front or back, it's all just you enjoying being you, okay? And if you can stand now. I want you to stretch your spine. Not so much by bending forward, because that might be a little stressful for some people, but what I want you to do is just turn your torso to the right and to the left. See how you're stretching those muscles in your back and around your rib cage? Okay, now you can step forward. Step forward with one leg and stretch into that one leg. There you go. Okay, now stretch. Bring the other leg forward and stretch into it. Okay. Doesn't that feel good? Uh-huh. And you weren't doing any work with those legs, but my gosh, they got all stiff up just sitting down. We can get that way when we're not active. So you got to get everything moving. And this will move the lymph, your lymph system, which is a really big part of your immune system. It's got to get your blood flowing. Okay. Move your shoulders now, okay? Yeah, swing those shoulders in every direction you can move them, okay? Because your shoulders build up so much tension, okay? And now I want you to turn your head to the right, turn your head to the left. Not so much that you get dizzy, just turn enough that you can feel a nice stretch in your neck, okay? And now to the degree that you can, tilt your head back, okay, just so you feel your throat open up. There's a chakra there in your throat. It's all about your speech and your self-expression, okay? So open that up, okay? Now, tilt your head forward, just like you were going to go into prayer. What you're going to do is stretch the back of your neck and open up its connection to the base of your skull. And if you're very aware, you're going to feel that goes all the way down to your hip. It's going to affect your hip flexor. Isn't that amazing? You know, that you're stretching your neck to open your skull, but your hip is feeling it. Really, I think the different things we feel in our body connected is just almost like a symphony. One part playing with another part. Okay. Now, let's take a really deep breath, and we're going to inhale deep into our lungs and also upward into our sinuses. Let's go. Deep, deep. Hold it for a couple of seconds. Now blow it out. Okay. Another. Hold it for a couple of seconds. Now blow it out. All right. And now you can reseat yourself. You can stand also if you want to, but I would prefer that in the blessing, you're going to be seated, because the blessing may require you to just let go of everything. It may induce an extreme state of relaxation. We don't want you to fall. So be seated. And there's another reason to be seated too. Have your feet bare on the floor or the ground, and they're going to draw energy up from the earth. And your head will be pointing up to the stratosphere. It's going to be pulling energy in from the heavens, okay? From the larger realm of our solar system, our galaxy, and infinity. So it will be drawing in through the head. It will pass through your body, wrap around your heart, and then go at your feet, okay? Into the earth. The earth will receive it, add to it, and purify it, and send it right back up through your body. So this can all work better if you're seated, because that's, you know, then you can relax and just let whatever wants to happen, happen. And you don't have to worry about bracing yourself or not losing your balance, okay? Now just be in your quietness. And I'm going to offer my prayer to Yeshua. Oh, Lord. Lord of life, brother to us all. We thank you. for your divine presence in our midst, that on this earth we can actually touch the life of God. We thank you for being a human among us in which the divinity of God dwells. We thank you for bringing to us the presence of the Holy Spirit, that we may find guidance in all things. We seek that guidance now and that blessing now, and we thank you for the connection. I ask that you be with everyone in our church and our community, whether they're on the call or somewhere else, being in their life with their loved ones, doing their duties in life. We ask that you be with them, that you guide them and lift them to the highest place of their potential. Then we extend beyond that. Bless their loved ones. Bless those they care about, even their pets, their sweet animals, the nature around them that they've seen and cherish and pray for. Please hear their prayer, as I know you do, but we ask specially for these, our loved ones. We ask that you bless the children around the world. They are our future. They are our innocence, still in a state of innocence. Let that be honored and protected. And may the children be fed. We ask that those in times of hardship, whether recovering from hurricanes or war, or loss, failure, or horrendous betrayals that leave us, anyone, wondering what to do next. Help them to understand that God is always next, for God is always here. We pray that you be their next, that the Holy Spirit be their next. And the revelation that comes as the blessing for their seeking. We ask now for your blessings. And we surrender into our place of innocence to receive them. In your holy name, we pray. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me in offering the blessing today?
your blessing has been given. Amen. Amen. And amen. Now, I want you to continue receiving. Your receiving is not finished. So lie down. Find a place that you like, that you're comfortable in. Lay flat and receive. The Holy Spirit be with you. The grace of God heal you and fill you. And the love of Christ enrich your heart, your health, your mind, and teach you the ways of goodness. Amen, amen, and amen. Look forward to being with you next week. Bye-bye for now.